Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Psalms 25, and let us all read together verses 1 through 5, and then we're just going to ask the Lord to have His way this morning. Amen? And so allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that You would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless You and praise You in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Lead Me and Teach Me, Lord. Lead me and teach me. And the prophet told me this morning, Pastor Fee, this looks like a message for you. I go, yes, it is. It's for me, but it pertains to all of us as well. And so I just want to be obedient to this message. And so are we there at Psalms 25, 1 through 5? Okay, so it should be right up here on the screen if you don't have your Bibles with you. And let's read together. To You, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in You. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumphant over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on You be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me Your ways, O Lord. Teach me Your paths. Lead me in Your truth and teach me. For You are the God of my salvation. On You I wait all the day. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of His word. You may be seated. Saints, learning to listen to the Lord is an important lesson for all of us. Can I get an amen? Amen. And one of the key factors in this message is about listening to God. And we're going to look at a story about a wonderful couple that God called out of darkness into His marvelous light. But they took one, two, three, several steps and went ahead of God. And they couldn't wait. They were impatient. They didn't understand the grace and mercy of God, that there are times in our life where we have to just sit still and wait upon the Lord. You see, saints, listening and learning to the Lord is an important lesson for all of us. Otherwise, we can't obey Him. Why? Because we won't know the confidence that we have in God's word. How many believe that there is confidence in God's word? Amen. Oh, yes. And furthermore, we need to know God's timing. Why? Because it's perfect. Even though, saints, it may seem slow from our perspective. How many of you have been waiting on a blessing or waiting on a promise, and it seems like this is forever, God? But if we jump ahead of God, we'll miss the blessings He has for you and me. Why? How many of you have made plans before? Okay? And how many of you say, man, I know I didn't pray and ask God, but I'm going to make this plan anyways. And then we sometimes find ourselves crashing and burning. Can I get an amen? I think we've all been there and done that, right? But this is why we turn to the Word of God. Why? Because God has a better plan. Did you know that? Look what it says right here up in Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. This is what God, you need to get this morning. That His thoughts for you are good and not evil. Now, the enemy will set traps, but guess sometimes the enemy is your own mind. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. Look at this. Well, first of all, He gives you peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. Say that with me. A future and hope. Man, this is what God has laid up for us. But a lot of times we just have to hold on, slow your roll, and wait on the Lord. Amen? Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart, that's what the Bible says, then I will be heard of you. I will hear you. How many of you just cried out to God, and maybe sometimes he didn't answer right away, but he eventually answers you? Oh, yes, he will. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. Well, in the book of Genesis, there's a promise. There was a promise, and there was a proclamation, and there was a credence, and there was words spoken to Abraham. And we find this in Abraham. Remember, this guy used to have idols. He had an idol shop. He was probably the first American idol. I don't know. But he had a whole bunch of idols. And so when he came to his wife and says, the Lord spoke to me, she goes, well, which one of them spoke to you? He said, I heard a voice. Listen, the word of God wasn't written back then. Can I get amen? But God would come and speak. He either spoke through an angel or his voice would shout from heaven himself. Wow. Let's look at this in Genesis. He told Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in all you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And that is so true. You know why? Because the Messiah came through that lineage. Jesus came through the line of Abraham. And because Jesus came, and because he died for your sins and mine, now we have inherited that blessing by faith. Can I get amen? We've been grafted in by faith. We've been adopted now. We are sons and daughters of the adoption process that Jesus did for you and I. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you and I can walk in God's favor. Can I get amen? Amen. How many want the favor of God? Amen. Then you got to believe what he's done for you. Hallelujah. You got to believe that he's already made a way when there seems like no way. Amen. The impossible things that God does baffles the mind of a humanistic point of view. This is why we have problems with the liberal world. Because they don't have the mind of Christ. The Word of God says, put this mind of Christ in you. And when you have the mind of Christ, whoa, you will understand God's ways. And so, God's directions were very clear, but Abraham didn't follow them fully. He didn't. And saints, just like us, Abraham wasn't perfect. We all know that. But he made mistakes as he walked with God. He was told to leave his family, but he brought his nephew Lot with him. Nowhere did God say, listen, you and your wife and you go, but bring your nephew Lot too. We don't read that in Scripture. But he thought, well, I'm going to bring him. So he did something that God never mentioned in Scripture about bringing Lot. And so it was clear that he jumped ahead of God. Let's look at this story so that we can ask God to just open up our understanding, illuminate to us. Look at this. Then Abraham, he went up to Egypt, and him and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. You see that? To the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and gold, and he went on to his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. Verse 4, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great they could not even dwell together. So all of a sudden, here's Lot. He had a whole lot of wealth, but we read that his men didn't get along with Abram's men. And they were squabbling over land, over possession. And this is why God said, I didn't ask you to bring Lot. Because Lot had a whole different mindset. And as we see later on in this story, the place that Lot chose to dwell ended up being Sodom and Gomorrah. So he had a whole different mindset. He had a whole different direction, and he wasn't under the guidance of God. Lot was living for self. And so we see this in Scripture. Now look at verse 7. And there was strife. Look at that. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites and even the Termites, they all dwell in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. And so all of a sudden, man, they were battling. You ever had battles with your own family members? Or is it just me? It happens, doesn't it? But see, we see this squabble taking place because God never ordained it for Abram. Abram thought it was convenient. You know, the more the merrier. Let's all go. Man, I need to take my entourage with me. And this is what happened. It fell apart for him. And look at verse 9 up here. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. In other words, get out of my face, Lot. I can't deal with you no more. And so, if you take the left, then I'll go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I'll take the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. So obviously, Lot was very covetous. He saw with the natural, I want this place because it has everything that we need. Yet, he had no clue that God was going to fire brimstone in this place one day. Let's look at verse 11 here. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were increasingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Wow. As you can see, Abram went ahead of God in this plan. But let me just say this. Even when we fumble the ball, hallelujah, God is there to pick up the ball and give it to us once again to continue to run. Can I get an amen? We all know football. The goal is to cross the goal line. Can I get an amen? And this is the mercy of God, that he will allow you through life, fall on your face sometimes, and then he'll come around with his spiritual spatula and scrape you off the ground after you've done a face plant. I've done many face plants, but it's the grace of God that he picks you up. Can I get amen? And so on another occasion, Abraham jumped ahead of God again in Genesis 16. There we find a familiar story that can add and equate with our own lives of Abraham and Sarah. They left God behind in their plans of promise from him. Once again, he wasn't supposed to take Lot, and now God had promised him an heir that through his son that would come from Sarah's womb, the Messiah would eventually come through that lineage. But once again, they went ahead of God. And so let's look at this in Genesis 16:1-16. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Uh-oh, now here's where the fire comes. Here's where God will test someone, and they were tested at this point. Why? Because Abram kept waiting and waiting and waiting for the promise. How many of you have been praying and crying out, God, save my son, save my daughter, save my cousin, save my dad, save my grandparents? How many of you have been praying for that? And yet they are still unsaved. God is speaking to us today to hold on. Can I get an amen? Because we see right here that this was not the plan that God had for Abraham. Let's look at this. So Hagar was a maidservant. Once again, it wasn't God's plan, and she was uncircumcised, meaning she wasn't part of the plan of God. She was considered back then as basically they're Jews and Gentiles in this world, right? She was a Gentile. And look at this. So Sarah said to Abram, "See, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children after God had promised them that through your seed all the nations would be blessed, and through your seed there will be so many that it would multiply even the stars in the heaven or the sand in the sea." God promised that. But where's the promise here? "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go to my maid, and perhaps I shall obtain children by her." Oh, that's a great plan. Let's just do it that way. Let's just bypass the promise. Now, you gotta understand, too, and this is where grace comes in. Because Abram, he was but 100 years old by now. Some of us have parents getting close to 100. My father, by the grace of God, is still alive. He's 92. I believe your father, Sister Louisa, is what, 95. Now, we know that those childbearing years are over now. Can I get an amen? They've been long gone. Long gone. And back then, I'm sorry, they didn't have Cialis or Viagra back then either. And so they were saying, man, tick tock, tick tock, time ran out. Come on, you got to understand the situation at hand. Hey, they were no different than you and I. Sometimes they became just feeble-minded. How many times have we misread God? And yet God said, "Nuh-uh, this plan that I have, I will bring it to pass. But if you veer and go a different way, you're setting yourself up for your own demise. So please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram headed, he heeded the voice of Sarah. That's a good plan. Let's roll with that one. Let's go to plan B. There was only plan A. I'm sorry. And so let's look at this. Then Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram, to his wife. And after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, so he went into Hagar. Man, I don't know how that happened, but it happened. And she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eye. Uh-oh, you opened up a Pandora's box now. Now this Gentile woman is claiming ownership. This is something you couldn't do, Sarah, but I did. And so now, look what has arose. There's a dispute here. There's animosity. There's anger. There's jealousy. All these fleshly emotions started rising up between Hagar now and Sarah. It was Sarah's idea. Come on, go. But Hagar had a whole different mindset, didn't she? And so her mistress became despised in her eyes. Look at verse 5 here. Then Sarah said to Abram, My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between you and me. So Abram said to Sarah, Indeed, your maid is your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. So all of a sudden, her heart turned. Why? Because it wasn't God's plan. God is not the author of confusion. Can I get an amen? When God's plan is proclaimed upon your life, you will know it's God. Why? Because you will walk in that grace. You will walk in mercy. You will know and have confidence, and the joy of the Lord will become your strength. Because he's with you. But when we veer to the left or veer to the right, and we're walking in our own understanding and we leave God out, these are the things that take place. This is for our understanding. This is for our learning. This is so that when we read what took place then, we can avoid that can take place now. And so, let's go to the next verse here. Verse 7. Now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of the water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, have you come from? Where have you come from? And where are you going? She said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah. The angel of the Lord said to her, return your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Look at verse 10 here. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. Now, this wasn't the heir. How many know that and read this story many times? The heir was Isaac. So this Ishmael became the Arab nation. And these are two brothers till this day are at each other's throat for dominance, to be more superior. Since this time right here in the Bible, we see what's taking place today. You know that around Israel, there are hundreds of millions of Arabs that hate Israel. But what it is, it's one brother hating his other brother, because they all came from Abraham. And until this day, there hasn't been reconciliation. Why? Why has this taken place? Because Abraham was told that you would conceive an heir through Sarah's womb. But they couldn't hold on and they couldn't wait. And many of us sometimes get ahead of God. We go, oh God, I don't see this happening. I'm going to make it happen. All right, go ahead and make it happen. And we find ourselves, what? Crashing and burning, amen? Look at verse 12. And he shall be a wild man. What? This is Ishmael, a wild man. Look at right now what's taking place in Gaza. These kids who should be in school, learning to be a doctor, learning to be a lawyer, learning to be having a good trade. But all these kids right now, the Palestinian government are not even educating their people. They're telling them, go find a kite and light a bomb and let it fly over Israel and burn their fields. Till this day, it's happening right now. Why? Because they're still a wild man. Is anyone getting this right now? They're still a wild man. They're not thinking logically. They don't have the mind of God. And they have a total hatred for their brother. It says, he shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. For she said, I have also seen him who sees me. Wow. Look at verse 14 here. Therefore, the well called Beer Lahal Roi, observe. It is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. 86. So do the math. How many years later did the true heir come? Because Abram was 100 when Sarah gave birth to Isaac, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The heir eventually came. Let me just say this. The promise that God has given us, and he has spoke to each and every one of us individually, his plan will come to pass. Whether you believe it or not, you're in this auditorium this morning because he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You're here being reminded that the plans and the promises he has are yes and amen. And no matter when we veer off the course, he will allow us to veer off, but then he'll come with a hook and bring us right back on the path. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many of you have fumbled? How many of you have even ventured off and had no mind for God, and then all of a sudden he had to quicken you and bring you right back? Why? Because his plan will not be thwarted by the enemy or by you. And so, although the Lord had promised that he would have a son and his descendants would be as vast as the stars, Abraham was getting older and there was still no son. After living 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abraham's wife came up with a plan to speed up God's promise, which was, go into my handmaiden. So Sarah suggested that he had a son through the Egyptian maid, which we all know crashed and burned. And so, saints, there's always danger when we are listening to the wrong voices. How many have listened to the wrong voice and you thought it was God? Huh? I'll tell you one of the most things that I have observed walking by the grace of God 30 years. I attended North Park Apostolic Church. I went for a small stint at Horizon Christian Fellowship. Ended up being almost 17 years at Mission Valley Christian Fellowship. Got my ordination at Sarah Mesa Christian Fellowship. And now here at Amazing Grace. One of the things that I've seen, I've observed this, especially with the baby saint that comes in and just gets saved. And maybe they were going through a bad relationship, a bad marriage. Something caused that relationship to just disintegrate. And now they're in the house of God. They're walking. But what I've seen take place is they're trying to replace that intimacy with another person instead of learning to have intimacy with Jesus. So they go running after another partner, someone to fill that void. And that's not the voice of God. The voice of God, you will know God's voice. How many of you heard God's voice? He gets past our feelings and our emotions. He gets right to the chase. He exposes our heart before us. And he can use other people to expose it, or he'll expose it all by himself. As a matter of fact, I'd rather have him expose it. But he had to use that uncircumcised Philistine doctor to slap me upside the head. Because that was God's voice saying, get it right, or you won't be going at all. Look at this. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so by being born again, filled with the presence of God and having the anointing of God, God will make sure you hear his voice. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Man, I've been to all kinds of ministries. Man, you know, you don't lose your salvation. Well, argue that with God. If he's called you out of darkness, he has saved you, sanctified you, filled you with his presence, with his spirit. He says no one's able to snatch you out of his hand. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Because I used to hear condemnation. Man, you know, you backslider, you're going ahead. Well, how many of us do we know that have backslid and God had to take his lasso? Woo! And pull you right back in to the grace. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's God's hand. Why? Because no one's able to snatch them out of your hand. Amen. Look at that. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. I don't care what circumstance you find yourself in. God is greater than your circumstance. Amen. He is greater than your predicament. He is greater than all your problems in the world. Because once you focus on him, that big giant problem becomes so minute, then you even forgot you had a problem. My Father who has given to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch him out of my hand. my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Aren't you so blessed to know that God is with you? He's in your court. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Saints, whether it's our own voice or someone else, we must always be careful to follow the Lord rather than human reasoning. Can I get amen? Why? Because sometimes we don't understand how God could possibly accomplish what he's promised. So we decide to help him out. How many of you said, man, Lord, I need to help you on this one. I need to throw in my 2 cents. And that's when we fumble the ball. That's when we crash and burn. As I mentioned regarding, you know, finding a temporary fix, especially when you first get saved, God's allowing me to share this testimony. Some of you never heard this one before, but I need to share it because it spoke volumes to me. And let me just say this. Did you know that God watches every step that you take? Okay, just me. Okay, we got one more back there. He watches every step. Can I get amen? Amen. Did you know he's involved in your whole entire life? Did you know that he is with you no matter what you do, wherever you go, he's always with you. And he will get your attention when you try to stray. Case in point. Me and Brother Felipe, we were serving at North Park Apostolic Church. He had 8 months on me. And here I am, I'm brand new. I'm brand new in the Lord. And I was like, you know, walking around like a doop-de-doo. Just happy to be saved. Being changed, you know, just changed. You know, I no longer look like I used to walk the streets. God taught me how to wear a tie and a shirt, you know, and he was sanctifying me, and I was being raised up. But one of the things that God tested me in is because I was married for 8 years. And my unsaved wife at the time forsook me, and she had every reason to do so. Because I did it to myself. I lived the party life, the drug life. I shared all, you know, I shared her all that wild world when she grew up good-natured and good moral family. But I destroyed it. I get that. But here I am. I'm now saved. And over there at North Park, all the single brothers had to sit in the front row. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm just happy to be in church. I was sitting right here, you know, in the front, praising God. And the reason for that is because they wanted the single brothers' eyes to the front. They didn't want wandering eyes, you know, sitting in the back, just scheming and scoping. And so I remember praising God, and I would always just turn like this. And there was a sister that gave me eye contact. And it happened for almost a month. Every time I turned, that sister would be looking at me. And, you know, and so one Saturday, the church had a baseball picnic. It was a baseball game and a picnic. And here I am sitting at a picnic table. And there she was. She was right there. So she came and sat, and we just started chatting. We introduced each other. I noticed you from, you know, from church, and, you know, we just started talking. I'm not going to give away her name, but God's allowing me to share this testimony. I shared this with Brother Felipe last week, and he was blown away. And so here we are, and we're chatting, and we started asking each other, hey, what do you like in life, and what kind of food do you like? I asked, do you like seafood? And yeah. I go, man, have you ever had lobster down at Newport, Mexico? You know, fresh tortillas and frijoles and all this. And she goes, no, Brother Fee, I never had that. I go, what do you say we go next week? Let's go next Saturday. I'll pick you up and we'll go down south. And she goes, you're on. And so the whole week, all I was thinking about, man, and then my mind just started scheming. Okay, so Saturday came. Here I am, man, I was in the restroom putting on the foo-foo juice, man. You know, thinking of the moves I was going to make. Oh, yeah. I was going to bust a move. Here I am, you know, married, and I missed that intimacy, you know, and here I am. I go, well, this is my moment. Okay? So here I am. Then the phone rings. We didn't have ID caller back then. So you just took a chance on who was calling you. So I got a call. I go, hello. And it was Sister Elisa Calvani. Her and her husband were my mentors. And they're the ones that raised me up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I ended up being under them for a good 7-8 years. And she was a praying woman. And she said, Brother Fee, the Lord impressed on my heart to call you right now. And she says, are you going somewhere right now? And I was looking around. I go, man, is there a camera in here? I go, why do you ask? She goes, well, wherever you're going, God is saying, don't go. God is saying, don't go. And so anger started rising up in me. It, you know, my mind was saying, like, how dare you? You know, I mean, now you're digging it. You know, I get being raised up and all that. I get, you know, trying to walk. But now you're in my business. Now you're stepping on some toes here. And she goes, Brother Fee, God just want me to encourage you that wherever you're going, God said, don't go and just get before him. I said, well, sister, thank you for, you know, your advice. I didn't know the term exhortation. Thank you for the word that came. I said, thank you for your advice. And I said, I got to go. Boom. And then I was like mad. I go, man, who is she? Who does she think she is? Here I'm boxing with God. And so I go, oh, I got to go. And so right before I opened the front door, the door knocked. Man, who is this? I opened the door. It was Brother Ernie Gonzalez. Me and him used to go pass out tracts, man, and just reach the lost. He goes, Brother Fee, God asked me to come and talk to you right now. About what? He goes, wherever you're going, God said, don't go. I said, what? And then I had to take a back seat. I had to sit down, and he ministered to me. He goes, you don't have to tell me where you were going, but he's saying, don't go. He goes, I sense there's danger. He says, I sense the enemy has set a trap. And so after we embraced and I thanked him, I called her. I said, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cancel this. Maybe we'll do it another time. And so I left it as that. 3 months later, that same sister that I was going to go fall in sin with, she ended up getting pregnant in the church. And God had to show me that I'm the one that's keeping you. I'm the one that's blessing you. I'm the one that's protecting you. I'm the one that's watching over you. And God gave me a paradigm change. And he was showing me his grace. He was showing me his mercy. That I had my own plan. And he says, that's not my plan for you. Because if I would have followed through with that plan and then a baby would have been conceived, I wouldn't be here preaching to you today. The whole plan would have been altered somehow. Then he wouldn't be able to trust me in obeying him and following him. I hope you get something out of this message. Because when we walk ahead of God and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, but you know what? I'm going to have to just put you to the back seat right now because I need to take care of this myself. We will crash and burn. We will stumble. We will fall. And so Because of impatience and unwillingness to wait for God, Sarah obtained a son through Hagar, but she also received many days of conflict, strife, headache, and trials. Eventually, she conceived her own son with Abraham, and he was 100 years old. What? It's right up here. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, and set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, was Isaac. Isaac. Look at this. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old. And God commanded him. Now, Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Is there anything impossible for God? Huh? Is there anything impossible? Saints, you and I, we probably don't deliberately decide to jump ahead of God. We just simply make choices that please us at the moment or that seem to be the answer what we're seeking. God is speaking to us this morning, amen? Since we live in a culture that doesn't value waiting, and we tend to imitate what everyone else is doing. This is true in almost every area of our lives, our purchases, our jobs, our marriage, our education, and everything else in between. Did you know God wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives? Every choice that we make, we should be calling upon the Lord. Is this your will? Lord, help me through this. Help me sort this out, God. And so I ask this question. What causes us to get ahead of God? Ask yourself that. What causes you to get ahead of God? Impatience? Desire? Lust? What could it be? Sometimes we just act right on the moment, thinking that this is God's will. And so, what causes us to get ahead of God? I have a couple of points up here before we close. Number one, we listen to other people instead of the Lord. Well, I think you ought to do this. Well, I think I know what's best for you. But hey, you know what? You need time out. Let's go party. Oh, no, that never happened, huh? Yeah, you know what? Just, you need to cool off and let's go have some fun. And yeah. And then you set yourself up for a bigger trap. Then you fall into a ditch. Number two, we are deceived by appearances rather than making choices based on the will of God. You remember when the prophet Samuel came to see King David's father? He says, amongst your sons, there is one that's going to be the king of Israel. So he went through all the sons, and some of his sons, man, they were like yoked out. Man, they were chiseled, men of war. And he checked them all up. He goes, nope, you're not the one, you're not the one. He goes, you got any more? He went through what, 5 or 6 of them? Yeah, we got one more. He's a little ruddy kid. He's out there tending the sheep. I need to go see him. And he says, this is the man. And he anointed that kid right there. Why? Because David had a heart after God. See, God looks on the inward, not on the outward. Be careful, saints, on who you entreat and who you allow in your sphere of influence. Especially single brothers and single sisters. Be careful. Because if you're desiring to one day have that godly spouse, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Can I get an amen? That's the first area that he'll come. That's the first area. That's the first emotional aspect. I need to be loved. That's the first one. No, you need to learn how to love Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. Learn how to love the Lord. And when you start learning to love him, you will have the greatest intimacy that you've never had before in your life. And that's when God becomes alive to you. His whole life is poured into you. And you'll have the joy of the Lord. I'd rather have the joy of the Lord than a temporary moment that'll cause endless years of misery. Look at number three. We become impatient and impose a time limit on the Lord. Well, man, you know what? It's not happening. It's not happening. Come on. Let's just go do our thing. We're impatient. You've heard me say this before. The analogy is the best tasting popcorn is you put it in a pan and maybe a little bit of coconut oil. You know, season the oil first, then throw in the kernels and just wait till it starts popping. No, we'll throw a bag in. I want it now. I want it now. 5 seconds. Plap, 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 plap. And then we rip it open and then give it 5 minutes to cool. Then you're chewing on a tire. It's like someone stuck a shoe in your foot. Because we want it so fast. We can't wait. We're impatient. God is saying, you know what? Slow your roll. Just wait upon me. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number four, look at this. We are afraid of failure or the possibility that we'll miss out on something if we don't act now. I'll tell you, just this past week, you know, waiting on the Lord and now thank God that, you know, he spoke to me, he had to chastise me. And so my car broke down. All the lights came flashing with the big triangle red light, like, danger, danger, Will Robinson. Danger, danger. I said, oh my gosh. And I go, maybe it's time to get a new car. It's a 2004. I've got about 200, almost 30,000 miles on it. But it's running so good. And I don't need a payment. And so because Yolanda and I, we learned a valuable lesson not to have any credit no more. If we can't pay for it, then we should not have it. And so if you're out of the system for 2 years, you don't have no FICO scores. And we hadn't had a credit card or anything like that for 2 years. We just don't want it because we've been in trouble with that before. And I've been tempted many areas to charge up a card. And then when the market crashed in 08, 09, we couldn't even pay that back. And so I said, maybe it's time to get a new car. And God shut every door. I even called our good friend. Some of you know him, Larry Tulio. He goes, I can't even find a score. We can't give you a loan for a car. I said, okay, thank you. And so I said, okay, let me just go take it in. Ended up finding that it was only a $65 part. And a couple hundred bucks for labor. And it's back in action. I was moving ahead. Oh, man, I need a new car now. And God said, no. Use that same one that you have. I'll make it easy on you. Just do the right thing. You don't need to get in debt. Can I get an amen? Amen. I'll tell you, sometimes debt can drive you crazy. Anybody been in debt before? Oh, no, none of you in here, huh? By the grace of God, all the little cards that I got in my wallet, they're debit cards. Not credit cards. You can't, hey, listen, just bottom line, if you can't buy it, then it's not for you. And don't beg and borrow and steal from someone. Just say, Lord, you'll supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. Amen. So in reality, we never miss anything by obeying the Lord. Can I get an amen? He alone knows the future and can guide us into the right direction. And furthermore, saints, he sees our weaknesses and leads us in ways that protect each and every one of us, and he keeps us from stumbling. But one of the things that we see in Scripture is that the key element is learn to obey God. How many, come on, let's all be transparent here this morning. How many of us fall short sometimes in obeying God? When you know what's true and you don't do what's true, the Bible says, then that's sin. So once he gives you knowledge and wisdom of his word and you understand, now it becomes sin and rebellion. And God mentions this in his, you know what, we all think, we all know the word witchcraft, and we think of Harry Potter. We think of, Alice in Wonderland. We think of all these magicians, and we think of all these wizards and all that. God doesn't look at it like that. That's a different kind of sorcery. Witchcraft he's talking about is found right up in here. Look at this. Samuel replied, the Lord, this is Saul the king. And did you know that the king Saul, even though he was anointed by God, he was rebellious always against the Lord as king of Israel. So God had to send him a prophet. God had to send me two prophets. And if I didn't take heed, I would have been destroyed in my own sin. And so this is what God will do. He'll send a prophet to your life and speak to you. And he will call out things in your life. This is why Pastor Rod speaks into my life. And he calls out things that only him and I know, because God shows it to him. But look at this. Samuel replied, has the Lord much pleasure in your burnt offerings and sacrifices and obedience? Meaning Saul would go sin and do all his own thing, and yet then he would come and worship and praise God. You know what that is? That's a picture, because I've been around church for 30 years. But there's people that go out and do their own thing, running amok, and then they come on Sunday mornings and worship. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, that was Saul the king. Samuel replied, has the Lord much pleasure in your burnt offerings and sacrifices in your obedience? Obedience is far better than sacrifice. He is much more interested in your listening to him than in your offering in the fat of rams to him. This is what God is saying. God is more interested in working out those details in your life, that you would be transparent with him, because he sees all things. And when you start to get it right before God, man, he comes and blesses your life so abundantly, you can't even receive all the blessings. But look at this. For rebellion is as bad as the sin of what? Witchcraft. My. And stubbornness is bad as worshiping idols. And now because you have rejected the word of Jehovah, he has rejected you from being king. If God could speak to a king, what about us as servants? My. This is why we can't get ahead of God. Can I get an amen? Don't get ahead of him. What we see in our country right now, that far left, whatever you want to call them, they are totally contrary to the will of God. Backbiting, angry. Man. Take a chill pill. You know what? I've learned when you see these characters in our society today, you know, the enemy wants you to get angry against them. You know what? I said, you know what, Lord? They just need to be saved. Because if they get saved, you will calm their heart. You'll give them a brand new heart. And so my prayer is, Lord, whatever it takes, save them. That they would know who you are. And that they would turn from their ungodly way. Saints, God doesn't outline his entire plan so that we can see it from the beginning to the end and thank God. You know what? He wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. He wants you to walk with him believing that what he has and stored for you is his best. Amen. But he guides us one step at a time. And sometimes, saints, his path includes suffering. heartache, loss, but it's also filled with peace, joy, and contentment. I'd rather have the joy of the Lord than to live on Sugar Hill. There's people that sacrifice everything just to live on Sugar Hill. You've heard me say, you know, man, I got to get a pool. Next door neighbor just built a pool. And get in debt $70,000. Got to go take a second out of my home to get one of them. No, just go to your neighbor and be his friend. He'll let you use it. Yeah. Hey, my whole family, here's a pie. Here's a piece. Hey, you know what? I noticed your pool. We baked you a pie. And you have your kids, you're already in their swimming suit. Oh, you come on in. That'll save you $70,000. Can I get an amen? Jesus, help us. How many love the Lord? Just give them a hand clap and praise. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. So saints, what causes us to get ahead of God? What does? The problem could be unbelief. And perhaps we don't believe that God has a plan for our individual lives. I believe that's the opposite. He does. But if we discount God's will for us, then we must conclude that everything is just an accident and a coincidence, including the fact that we're just alive. Well, I'm here because, you know, I'm here by coincidence, maybe. No, that's a lie from the pit. Bible says he has a plan. We just read in Jeremiah, he has a plan for you, doesn't he? Of good and not evil. But here's the key. Some of you got blessed last Sunday. And what I'm going to ask a question. What was the key element that where you received your blessing? And not only that, but go back to the day you got saved. What is the key element that brought you into salvation? Just that alone. What was it? Faith. Believed. Yes, faith and believe, right? Salvation. Yes. All that ties to one word. No, some of you already said it. But the problem could be unbelief. We just read Sarah had unbelief, right? Even Abraham had unbelief. They couldn't believe that in his latter years that the heir would come through her womb, not through an adoption process or not through a maidservant, but through God. But this is our stumbling block, is unbelief. And so this scripture, just, man, let it just dwell in your heart and write it down. Write it down in your notes. Or go back and download it or mark it in your Bible with a highlighter. But in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible. Say that with me. Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, what must believe he is. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. That's the key. You got to believe God. You got to believe the plan he has for you. You got to believe the family he has given you. You got to believe the job he has given you. You got to believe the relationships that he has allowed to come into your life. You got to believe that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. He says, I will supply all of your needs according to what? His riches and glory. My goodness. But if you're not believing God, then what? If you're not believing God, so what is the penalty for not waiting for God? We're going to go quickly and then we close. Number one, we deny ourselves his best. Who wants the best from God? Then don't allow to be denied. That back door, can someone close the one on the right in the entrance, please?
Thank you.
Number two, we delay God's purpose in our life. We delay God's purpose in our life. God has a purpose and a plan. Don't allow yourself to be denied of it. Can I get amen? Yes. Number three, we experience disharmony. When we're walking outside of the will of God, nothing goes right. There's always friction in your life. There's always, things just don't go smooth. Man, there's always a heaviness. There's always being burdened. Because we're walking out of the will of God. But when you walk with God, you won't experience disharmony. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And then we end up suffering great disappointments. And lastly, somewhere along the way, we can expect defeat and possibly destruction. I was on the road of destruction. The testimony I shared with you, I was about ready to crash and burn. Man, my mind was like, I'm going to go have fun today. Wrong. So I end with these questions, saints. Please get something out of this message because I believe God is speaking volumes to me, to your pastor. He's speaking volumes. You know why? Because we need to be reminded who he is. I got to be reminded the call. Did you know that he has called every one of us? And there's purpose in your life? I believe there's future pastors in here. There's prophets in here. Oh, yeah. There's evangelists in here. There's people in here that love to share the Lord. And they continue to share the, why? Because it's his call in your life. So I close with these questions. Number one, have you ever jumped ahead of God? And for some of us who cannot jump real high, and I'm one of them, we just step over God. We don't have to jump. We just step over. Number two, if so, what caused you to become impatient? Well, I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. And God is saying, your blessing's just around the corner. Can you hold on for another five?
Right.
But we want it now. Yep. We want it now. Yeah. We want it now. You know, there's this little slogan. You ever been to Lolita's right down here? On Telegraph? Yeah. It says, good Mexican food is being patient. You know, I want my roll tacos now. And we can't wait for it. We want it now, huh? Well, then go in 7-Eleven and get something off the burner. It's right there waiting for you. Number three, what happened as a result? What happened as a result for those of you that has testimonies? Man, I should have waited on God. The one thing that I kind of mentioned that could have happened to me, as I was about ready to slip into another relationship, and I would have just really crashed and burned, took the whole cell down with me. And that's what people want to do. Man, I need somebody. Couldn't wait on God. By the grace of God, he had me serving him for 10 years after salvation. When I first got, he had me waiting patiently. And not that I was seeking anyone, but I was learning to unlearn and relearn the things of God. And when you come into salvation, you got to learn to unlearn some things that you've learned when you were in the world and learn the things of God. And once you learn the things of God, now you'll start walking in his grace. Now you'll start understanding the call in your life. Now you'll understand the salvation that he has given us. Can I get an amen? But if we move ahead, we'll crash and burn. And one thing that I emphasized earlier, we seem to run to relationships without being God's will for our life. And we crash and burn. I've heard many stories. Yeah, I've been going to church for a while now. And then all of a sudden, sister falls for that. Oh, man, this brother loves the Lord. And then as soon as you get to that altar, I do. Whoa, the mask comes off. Now you married an uncircumcised Philistine. And you're suffering now. How do I get out of this? Oh, no, that's never happened to you, none of us, right? 10 years went by for me, and what he did, because I had a made-up mind to serve in, he plucked a flower out of his garden, and then he presented her to me. That I can trust, that I can be trusted with her, because it's his daughter. And when he presented me, Sister Yolanda, I knew. And by the grace of God, we've had less arguments than 10 fingers I'm holding on my hand for 20 years. We wake up every morning, I love you. I thank God for you. I'm praying for you. Yeah, we got a little rounder and a little more hair, but she still tells me she loves me. And I still tell her I love her and how she means to me, what she means to me, and how God has worked in your life beautifully to enrich my life. That's when you know it's from the Lord. That's when you know God's at work in your life. Why? Because he wants to bless your life. He wants the best for you. He don't want you to have second best. He wants you to have the very best. Why? Because then he wants all the glory from your mouth. He wants you to glorify him and magnify him and praise him for, look what the Lord has done in my life. Now, can he erase the wrongs? Absolutely. And he can wash away all of our mistakes. But he's like this. He told the woman that was caught in the midst of adultery, where are your accusers? They all dropped the rocks because they were going to stone her according to the law of Moses. He says, go. You know, he asks, where are your accusers? There's no more. He goes, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. So learn. Learn. Learn what God is doing in your life and learn the mistakes of others and learn through the stories of the Word of God that you don't have to fall into those pitfalls no more. Can I get an amen? Because God has a better plan. If you allow him to lead you and guide you, he has a better plan. What have you learned about God's timing, both from his word and through your experiences of either obedience or impatience? I have a list. A list of, I shouldn't have done that list. And then we have a list on the other side. Because I chose to do it your way, God, I see all the manifested blessings that you have given me. Learn to walk in his ways. Learn to walk in his will. Can I get an amen? Amen. And guess what? And number five, how will these lessons guard you against getting ahead of him in the future? As I just shared. Learn. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy, God. And Lord, I know this message was tailor-made for me. Because as I sat there trying to wallow in my own misery, there was no one to blame, but I did it to myself. And we find ourselves in that same predicament. We did it to ourselves. But God, you're the God of second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth chances. Your grace is endless toward us. And many times We go through the wilderness because we set our own selves out to go that way. But God, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for covering us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for moving ahead of us. Thank you for the forewarnings in our life. Thank you for the angels that come to us and speak to us. Thank you for your word that keeps us alive and well. For your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. And so I'm praying that whoever right now is going through something in their life right now, ask God. This is the moment that you are transparent with him and say, God, make those things that are crooked, make them straight. Lord, I confess my sin unto thee. For your word says, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's your word. That's your promise. And so, Lord, we stand on your promise. We stand on your word because there's nothing we can do to eradicate those mistakes in our life, but only you. Only you can wash and make us whole. Make us whole today, God. Cleanse us, Lord. Wash us, God. And I'm praying for those who are listening right now. Those who need a blessing right now. Those who need to be set free. Those who keep going around in a merry-go-round and finding themselves always, finding themselves in the same rut. Lord, that you would do something radical. Saying, you know, I'm tired of doing it my way. I don't want to have a Burger King life no more. Lord, I want to choose to do it your way. Help me walk in your ways, God. Help me walk in obedience. Help me walk the walk so that I could talk the talk that's mentioned in God's word. And so if that's you, and maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus, it starts at salvation for those who are not saved. And so pray this simple prayer by faith. If you were listening to this message, the key word, the key element is faith. And pray this prayer in faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I repent of all my sins right now. I confess them all to you right now. Lord Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give him praise. Come on, give him glory in the house. Is he worthy? How many believe Jesus?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.